Imagine that you are one of the greatest mathematical minds of the 20th century. You've invented the digital computer. And not only that, you have significantly shortened the length of World War II by being the only person to crack the secret Nazi codes. What type of reward do you think your government should give you? If you guessed arrest and castrate you for being gay, then congratulations, you're right. Alan Turing was born in London in 1912 and abandoned in London in 1913 while his parents decided to gallivant about in India. Turing was raised by a retired army couple and showed signs of being a bit of a mathematical prodigy even at an early age. As a child, he was a massive stutterer and really very self-sufficient, even to the point of changing his own nappies when he was only a few months old. He stubbornly refused to learn how to read until he decided one day, bollocks to this, and taught himself in 3 weeks. He was very much a loner who didn't have any friends, chose long-distance running as his compulsory sport, and probably would have invented computer solitaire if he'd lived that long. He became very interested in secret codes as a child, but realized that they aren't much good unless you can share them with someone. When he was 15, he made friends with Christopher, another mathematically minded boy whom he soon fell in love with. As Turing was a very properly raised English boy, he had no concept of things like emotions or love. Discovering that he was gay probably would have made it at least 3% more confusing for him. So cue the sad violin music, because when Turing was 18 years old, Christopher died of tuberculosis. Could this have had some effect on his psychological well-being? Well, probably yes. Later that year, Turing won a scholarship to go to King's College in Cambridge, where he had a brief affair with another man. He did very well and was allowed to stay on and do research, where he became known as one of England's most promising mathematicians. Unfortunately, his mother still saw him as a scruffy little boy who embarrassed the family by being an academic. Turing was a very principled man and believed in honesty at all times. This meant that he would often make references to being a homosexual. Not in front of his poor mother, of course, but to everybody else. At the time, this was probably not the best idea. Remember, this was back in the 30s where it was actually illegal to be gay, much like how it's illegal to be a redhead in today's times. At this time, a particularly annoying philosopher known as Kurt Gödel came along and decided to ruin mathematics for everybody. You're probably familiar with this classic paradoxical statement, "This statement is untrue." It's a paradox because if it's true, then it must be untrue. But if it's untrue, then it must be true. Now, this type of thing might be fun at parties, or at least the sort of parties that I go to, but could it be used to destroy the entire foundation of mathematics? Gödel thought so. He came up with the statement, "This statement is unprovable," which means that if you can prove it to be true, then you've just proved it to be false. But if you prove it to be false, then you must have just proven it to be true. What Gödel did that was so clever and so annoying was manage to show that this statement could be written into any mathematical system. This meant that every single mathematical system possible must contain that paradox and therefore be as useless as me in a cage fight. Turing decided to tackle this problem. He came up with the idea of a machine, humbly known as a Turing machine. Such a machine would be able to follow a set of rules designed to accomplish a certain task, like calculating prime numbers or playing chess. He then conceived of a universal Turing machine that could be told to act exactly like another regular Turing machine. He then said, "Imagine if you made a universal Turing machine that was capable of detecting those types of paradoxical statements. But instead of telling it to act like other machines, tell it to act like itself. What would happen? Well, according to Turing, it would go mad and more than likely try to kill all humans." Incidentally, this was the original plot for the Terminator movies, but the studio executives felt that it would be too boring for most people. They were probably right. Long story short, though, Turing's work fit nicely alongside Gödel's and showed the world that mathematics was both logically and mathematically incomplete. On the plus side, Turing's work laid down the foundations for the first ever digital computer, and the Xbox. He flew across to America and began working on a PhD at Princeton alongside great minds such as Albert Einstein, who didn't really pay much attention to him. At this point, Turing started developing depression. He wrote a letter back to his Cambridge boyfriend, mentioning that he developed a method of poisoning an apple for the purpose of suicide, possibly making it the least romantic love letter in the history of mankind. After a while, he returned home to England and had his mother send him his teddy bear, which is rather sweet. But he also became a bit obsessed with a local production of Snow White. He was fascinated by the evil witch who lowered an apple into a cauldron of poison, and he was often heard repeating her spell in the corridors of Cambridge. Dip the apple in the brew, let the sleeping death seep through. Possibly one of the biggest reasons that Turing was so suicidal was his sexual preference. Being gay in today's time isn't the easiest thing in the world, but at least it isn't illegal, like I said it was before. In fact, not only was it illegal, it was actually classified as a mental illness, such as pedophilia or being a country and western fan. Anyway, about this time World War II broke out, and Turing was put in charge of a top secret military project aiming to crack the Nazi Enigma code. The American army wasn't really prepared for Turing, who looked a lot like a hobo. He had crazy hair, he'd stopped shaving, and was now using an old school tie in the place of a belt. He had a high-pitched stutter, would nervously laugh like a donkey, and made irritating squawking noises while concentrating. He embarrassed himself by hitting on a man who wasn't gay. He ignored anybody who wasn't his intellectual equal, i.e. the army officers. He would sometimes work for days and nights on end, but worst of all, he didn't really seem to take what he was doing very seriously. Fortunately for the Allies, a Polish engineer called Richard Lewinsky managed to sneak out of Germany. He'd been building code-making machines for the Nazis, known as Enigma machines. And these codes were used by the U-boats to send their positions to other U-boats and also the positions of the Allied convoy ships. Cracking these codes would give away every German U-boat position. Lewinsky helped the British build some of these machines, but it wasn't quite enough. It allowed them to create their own messages, but they still couldn't decode the Nazis. That required knowing a secret number, of which there were literally billions of. Not only that, but the Germans changed the keys 3 times a day. Turing's team got together and built the first ever Turing machine, known as the Colossus. This machine had one job only: crack the Nazi codes. They managed to get it working, although at first it took the machine several days to decode a single message, but after a while they managed to cut this down to several hours and then just to a few minutes. Luckily too, because at this point Britain only had enough food to last them a week. Turing and his team were heroes. They literally saved the lives of thousands of people, if not more. Their efforts considerably shortened the length of World War II. Unfortunately, Turing continued to make homosexual comments in front of others, instead of hiding himself away like a good little boy. He did try being engaged to a girl for a while, but funnily enough, it didn't last. Psychologically, he was going downhill. He became a little paranoid and was convinced of an impending invasion. He converted all of his savings into silver bars and buried them in some woods. Unfortunately for him, he later forgot exactly where he'd buried them. By now, more and more computers had been built following Turing's design, dwarfing the original Colossus. Some of these computers could even be programmed. Turing was now 35 years old and busy trying to create a true artificial intelligence, a machine that could perfectly simulate the appearance of consciousness and free will. He developed the idea of a Turing test, which is where a computer tries to convince somebody that it is actually a human being, a test failed by most high school students. He did manage to coax a computer called Madam into writing him a love letter, which read, "Darling sweetheart, you are my avid fellow feeling, My affection curiously clings to your passionate wish. My liking yearns to your heart. You are my wistful sympathy, my tender liking. Yours beautifully, Manchester University Computer. According to my wife, this is significantly more romantic than anything I've ever managed to do. He was doing this back at Cambridge and also having a whale of a time with the young male students there. He did settle down with a boyfriend after a while, but was never entirely faithful to him. When he wasn't stuck in a computer lab, he was busy roaming the streets trying to pick up other men. Unfortunately, one of these young men robbed him, and Turing naively called the police. Naively, because he made it pretty clear that he suspected his latest boy toy. Rather than worry about the robbery, the police decided to arrest Turing for gross indecency. He pleaded guilty, but rather than face prison, he was forced to undergo chemical castration. This completely destroyed his sexual identity and wasted away his body. He was declared a security risk to the country he had just saved, kicked out of his job, and denied entry into the United States. Not surprisingly, Turing finally enacted the scene from Snow White, loaded an apple with cyanide, and took his own life at the age of 41. So, Turing suffered greatly despite his greatness. Perhaps things would have turned out differently if society hadn't cared so much about his sexual orientation, or if being a burglar was considered worse than being gay. Maybe if Turing had existed today, he would have fared better, seeing how in today's society, straight people and homosexual people are regarded as equals, and nobody worries too much about it at all. Oh, wait a minute. Whoops. My name's Adam Van Langenberg, and for more episodes of Mathematical Punch-Ons, check the iTunes Store.